Someone asked me Sunday if I was in a hurry because I only preached about 25 minutes. They said, "Was you in a hurry today?" I said, "No, I just felt like I had all the liberty and I ran out." But I'm not going to be in a hurry tonight. This has been a blessing to me. I hope it will be to you. I titled this, "Pilgrim is Glad." He's happy. He's elated. He went from being distressed in Psalm 120. These are songs of degrees. He's going up. In Psalm 121, he encourages himself in the Lord, and here he's happy. Happy to go to the house of God. Not a building, but to meet together with the Lord's church. To really meet, come together here, not just for the fellowship. And that's important. I cannot stress to you the importance of fellowship with one another. But to worship God and be taught of God, this is special. I wish I could get this across, and I wish I would realize it more and more. When we gather together like this, the Lord has promised, where two or three are gathered together, to be in our, he's promised to be in our midst, to be here with us tonight. And we have that promise, and we should make an effort every time we can to be under the gospel, because the Lord said he's going to be there. Now, I thought, and when I started reading this, what a difference the Lord makes in those whom he saves. They go from loving sin. They go from drinking iniquity like water to loving righteousness and worshiping God. Worshiping God. Their company changes. They said, let us go. His company changed, didn't it? They go from the dead to the living. You know, I personally don't like being around dead things. They stink. They stink. When I smell something that's been dead for a while, it makes me want to throw up. And it's hard to get that smell out of your nose. And I feel that way when I've been out in the world for a while and away from God's people and the service of God. Just being around a bunch of dead things. But here in this psalm, Pilgrim is Glad, and this is David writing. I'll refer to David, and I'll refer to Pilgrim, I'll refer to you, I'll refer to me throughout this psalm. But remember this, David was not only a king, but he was also a prophet. And he's speaking here of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just a place over in the Middle East called Jerusalem. He's prophesying here of the church, the city of the great king, the builder, whose builder and maker is God. That's who he's talking about. Now he says here, I was glad. The word means elated. Elated. I told this to Vicki the other day after I've been reading this. You know, I used to be a strong Dallas Cowboy fan. And man, when they won, I was elated. I mean, I was jumping up and down happy. And now I look back at that and I'm ashamed that I was more elated over that than I am being here. That the thrill of it. I thought I ought to have that same thrill being under the gospel and hearing the gospel. How sinful is our flesh that we carry around with it? How sinful. How it drags us down. It just drags us down. You know, we are literally carrying around a dead body with us. Until God lays it in the grave. But that word means elated. Elated. What a difference grace makes in a sinner saved by grace. Those who are born of God, they go through a real change. A real change. An inner change, not just outer. There's a real inner change that takes place. We cannot be born of God and not go through a real spiritual change. For the first time, we have been made spiritually alive to God. We can now have fellowship. We can have real fellowship with Almighty God, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the ones who made us. The scripture says in John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Not just spiritual, spirit of the same nature. That's what he's talking about. And those who claim to believe God and still love this world are spiritually dead. We can claim all we want to claim. But what we love tells who we are. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's not in him. I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord. You know, over in Luke chapter 4 and verse 16, I'm not going to turn there, but the Lord was going to Nazareth. I believe it's Nazareth. And when he went there, you know what it says? As his custom was, he went into the synagogue. That was his habit. That was, if you're going to find him, you're going to find him in the synagogue. You're going to find him in the temple. You're going to find him teaching. That's what you're going to find him in where God has established a place where his name was set. That's where you find him. Now, what made Pilgrim glad here? Here's what made him glad. When they said unto me, the first to say this to Pilgrim, when they said unto me, I was reading this through the scriptures today. Listen to this. John 21:12. Jesus says unto them, come and dine. You see, it's when the Lord first calls me. When he first calls me, that's when it'll make me glad to be here. When he calls me, regenerates me, gives me a new heart, a new nature, that's when I'll be glad to be here. Other than that, I'll not be glad to be here. I mean, I can tell you this, and I know this about myself, and I know this about you. There was a time you were not glad to be here. You had other places to be. But when he made me glad, he said, come and dine. Listen to Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Come. And let him that heareth say, come, when they said unto me. And let him that's athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. When they said unto me, the whole Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, when they spoke to me in regeneration, in salvation, I was glad. And then secondly, when Pilgrim meets other pilgrims like-minded, you remember he leaves home, the males were to leave, and they were to make a trip 3 times a year to Jerusalem. And he meets other pilgrims, and they're all saying, let's go to the house of God. Let's go. He meets other pilgrims like-minded. Pilgrim's company made him glad. Made him glad when they said to me, he was not alone. He was not alone. Elijah said, I'm alone, didn't he? He said, I'm alone. I'm the only one left. Take my life. Just kill me, Lord. Take me. Take me out of here. I'm the only person on this earth who believes you. And God said, no, you're not. There are 7,000 more people. And he knows. He knew the exact number. He didn't say there are several more. He said there are 7,000. Now, you know, seven in the scriptures is a number of perfection. The Lord's church is complete. There are 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal. So you're not alone. You're not alone. God's people are a joy to be with. You are a joy to be with. I have no other friends, I mean friends, in this community or any place else, back home. I have no other friends but you. Nobody, and I think about this today, this crossed my mind. Nobody that does not believe the gospel ever calls me. I don't have anybody calls me. I don't. All my friends over the years have been those who believed God since I have believed. Now, in those early years, there was some that did call me. Then they quit. They don't call me no more. They don't call me. You do. You do. And I have people back home. I get phone calls every week from pastors and others. I get texts and I get emails. But every one of them believe the gospel. Every one of them. The world doesn't want to talk to me no more. They don't want to talk to me no more. As Paul said, the world's crucified to me and I'm crucified to the world. The world's dead to me and I'm dead to the world. It has nothing for me. Nothing at all for me. And I have a gospel message for them, but God will have to apply it. Because other than that, they hate it. And that's the truth. Paul wrote this in, Paul wrote it in Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. We're not alone. That's what made Pilgrim so happy. He's not alone. He may have started out from the house by himself, but he's not alone. He's got a cloud of witnesses now with him. You know, the crowd just keeps getting bigger and bigger as they get closer to Jerusalem. And then they speak the same language. That makes him happy. Zion's language. We speak the same language. And that's, you know, when I talk to Paul Mahan or Tom Harding, or when I speak to these other men and just other believers, when I speak to them, we speak the same language. Sooner or later, the gospel comes up. It comes up. We speak the same language. We're going in the same direction. It's not, I'll see you later. We're going in the same direction to the city of the great king. That's where we're going. We have the same motive. Isn't that something to have the same motive? Two people going in the same direction, except two agree, how can they walk together? Pilgrim is walking with other pilgrims, and they're in full agreement. They're in full agreement of who God is, who Jesus Christ is, and how God saves sinners. They are in full agreement. Full agreement. And they're going there to worship the God of Israel. And it's the Lord's house. It's called the Lord's house. You know the Lord's house is the church. You know that. It's not this building. This building burned down and the church didn't burn down. Church is not going to burn down. Church is you. You're the house of God. God said, I'll walk in them. I'll be their God and they shall be my people. She's spoken of as a building. She's spoken of as a city. Turn over to Revelation chapter 21. I'm reading this as part of my study. Look in verses 1 and 3. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. That's who David's speaking about, the church. The church is the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Look over in verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, that is in this city. He describes this if you want to read that chapter. But I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. They are the temple. It's a living temple. You and I are living stones. And the city had no need of the sun. This city doesn't, the church. Neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. He's the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. He has made us what? Kings and priests. Kings and priests. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall not be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And I'm going to read verse 27 with another statement. I was glad when they said, "Let us go." Let us go into the house of the Lord. And here's another thought that hit me just before coming out here. What about when God calls me home? When He calls me to heaven, will I be glad? Yes, I will be. I believe I will. And I believe that there's some of you who will be glad when God calls you home. That He'll give us the grace to say goodbye. He'll give us the grace to say, "I'll see you later." If I go before you, you who believe, I'll see you again. Didn't that what the Lord said to His disciples? "I'll see you again. And I'll see you again. If I go before you, you who believe, I'll see you again. If you go before me, we'll see each other again." It'll just be a little while. Like Henry told Nancy Parks after her husband passed away. She said it helped her so much. He said to her, he said, "He's just around the corner. He's just around the corner." It's such a short time. And then Pilgrim, along with other pilgrims, they are within sight of Jerusalem, the city of the great king, and they say this in verse 2, "Our feet shall stand." And really, this is a statement of faith. Here's a statement of faith. It's not a hope, a hope, a hope, a hope up there. It's not that kind of hope. You see, the hope that we have in the gospel is an expectation based on God's word, God keeping His word. And here is a statement of faith by Pilgrim, and then by David, and by all of God's children. "Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem." Our feet will stand in heaven one day, in that new Jerusalem, that city of the great king. Our feet shall stand. It stands in it now. If God has saved us, we are standing in the church, in God's church, in the body of Christ. We are standing. And notice here, he doesn't say, "My feet shall stand." He says, "Our feet." You see, Pilgrim's not selfish here. He looks at his brothers and his sisters and he said, "Our feet shall stand." And I look at you. And I say, "Our feet shall stand within her walls, within thy gates, inside." Not outside looking in, inside. Just as Noah was in the ark. In the ark. And when he says here, "Our feet shall stand," shows they've reached their destination. You know, right now, we stand in heaven, even though we are here on earth. In Christ, we are seated in Him. We stand in Him. We are in Him. There's a sense. Now, there's a real sense. And God has to show this to us. But there's a real sense that I'm already there. I'm already there. Now, I'm going to experience that in a little while, and you are too. But there's a real sense in which in Christ, we are already there. You know, Christ said that he was in the bosom of the Father at the same time he's on earth. And here we are on earth, but at the same time, we're also seated at his right hand. That's a reality. And that's a reality we need to live with. I don't want to just say, someday I'm going to be. I'm there now. And then in a little while, I'm going to experience it completely, fully, perfectly. You see, it's not just my feet, it's our feet. You know, Paul said this in 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. We thank God for each other. We thank God for each other. Isn't it good to take a walk with a friend? I thank God for you. I thank God for your fellowship. I thank God for your fellowship. I thank God for your love. I thank God for your generosity. I thank God for you. That's what he's saying here. Our feet, they'll stand. He's including his other pilgrim friends. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. And he's glad, listen. I'll tell you another reason why he's glad. Because of where our feet used to stand before God saved us. Used to stand over hell. Ephesians chapter 2 says we were children of wrath by nature, even as others. Even as others. You know, if you go over to Psalm 1, he says that that blessed man is blessed as one. He's not in the counsel of the ungodly or standeth in the way of sinners, sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's exactly where we used to be before God saved us. But not anymore. Not anymore. Oh, my feet stand within God's church, within the body of Christ. My feet don't stand in a honky-tonk anymore. They don't stand there anymore. I'm ashamed of where my feet have stood before. But they don't stand there no more. John Newton said, I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I want to be, but I'm sure not what I used to be. I'm not what I'm going to be. I'll get it right in a minute. I'm not what I'm going to be, but I'm not what I used to be. Can't you say that? You're not what you used to be. He said, well, I didn't go those places. Well, you're not self-righteous anymore either. You see, some stand in honky-tonk, some stand in self-righteousness. But you sure didn't stand in favor with God. Not by nature you didn't. And we had favor with God in Christ, but we didn't know that. We didn't know that. To stand here is to stand, is to be in the Lord's church, the New Jerusalem. And he says here, now he speaks of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact, firm, packed together. You know, when you really compact something, you make it dense, firm, and strong. That's what it is. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. And he's saying here, she's well built. She's well built by the master builder. God built her. Just like he did Adam. You know, when you go over here, let me read. I wrote this down. I'll read this to you over in Genesis 2. She's built. She's built. In Genesis chapter 2, look, let me read verse 21, 22. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from Adam made he a woman. Over in the margin, you know what it says? Builded. He built Adam a wife. And that's exactly what God's doing with the church. He's building Christ a wife, the bride of Christ. And to think you are part of it, think about that. You're a part of it. You're a part of the bride of Christ. God is building you. Listen to Hebrews 11:10. For he looked for a city, that is Abraham, looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. It says in Psalm 100, he hath made us and not we ourselves. He has built us and not we ourselves. Ephesians 4:16, Paul writes, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, firmly put together by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, the whole body working together, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You're being built by God, a part of the body of Christ. And here's the verse I wanted to read out of Revelation 21:27 about this city. You see, the church is spoken of here as a building. It's built together, but it's also spoken of as a city, a building of God, but also a city. You see, a city is full of people. It's full of people. It's a righteous city. There's no sin, no sin in this city. No sin can enter this city. You know, usually where there are a lot of people, there's a lot of crime in there. The bigger the city, the higher the crime rate. Even though heaven is made up of sinners saved by grace, there's no sin there. It's all gone. It's all gone. It's a righteous city. Revelation 21:27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, that New Jerusalem I just read to you about, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. No locks on the doors. Remember, I read to you, it said, the gate shall not be shut. Now, why do people live in a gated community? They do it for protection more than anything. They do it for protection. They just shut the gates. You got a guard at the gate. You check everybody coming in, going, coming and going. You check it. He said, that gate's wide open. There ain't no sin, no evil going to enter that city. It's over with. That is over with. That's gone. And he says here in verse 4, whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. Israel was made up of 12 tribes. It was made up of 12 tribes. And the males from all those tribes went up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. And it was not just tribes or any tribes. It says the tribes of the Lord. His chosen tribes. His elect. You see, it's the 12. It's the elect of God that can make up this city, that make up this New Jerusalem, that make up the worship in this city of God. Unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. The Ark of the Covenant was kept there. It was kept. Now, you know this, that David's writing this, the temple hadn't even been built yet. That's why he's speaking. God gave him a revelation, understanding of what's going to happen. Solomon's going to build this temple, and the ark's. Listen, the ark is not going to be carried from place to place no more. It's going to be in one place. One place. The gospel is in one place, the church. The gospel's in the church. I know we have different local churches that the Lord has established throughout this world, but it's still just one church, one gospel. And that's where the gospel is. That's why it's so important to come here and hear the gospel. This is where it is. This is where it is. I like sermon audio. I listen to it pretty much every day. I like it. But it doesn't replace this. It does not replace this. Forsake not the assembling of thyself together, as the manner of some is. I think we live in a day when there are less and less people who go to the worship service, who go to hear preaching, and any little stupid thing in the world can come up and they have an excuse, and they don't go. You drop everything when it comes time to hear the gospel. You drop it all. Unto the testimony of the Lord. The church and the gospel, the testimony, are kept there in the church. And we thank God for it. You see there, he said, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. Well, you know, worship, a big part of worship is gratitude, isn't it? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I think if there's anything that I would be regret, and I'm just talking in a natural way of thinking right now, because I'm not in heaven. I don't have, there we have the mind of Christ. We have a perfect mind. But I think if there's anything I regret or be ashamed of, it's that I didn't worship more, pray more, read more, and be more devoted to him who saved me by his grace and gave me all the riches of glory and an eternal life to walk on a new earth, and I'm never going to die. Death will never enter my mind. It will never be a subject no more. That's my future. And to think that I can be so cold, that disturbs me. It disturbs me. What God has done, what Christ has suffered, and yet my. Thank you, Lord. God's people are grateful people. For there are set thrones of judgment. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. You know, Jerusalem was a place of authority. And it's a place of government. It's where the king governed, was in Jerusalem. That's where he established his home, his throne, you see. He took it from the Jebusites. David took Jerusalem from the Jebusites, and that became the city of the great king. That is Jerusalem. And there he governs. Christ governs from his church. Listen, Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, it's not a lawless city. The church is not a lawless city. It's not lawless. The church is not without authority and government. We are governed by the gospel and the Holy Spirit, aren't we? Grieve not the Holy Spirit. We're governed by him. You know, Paul, throughout his epistles, he wrote about our walk and our talk. You know, his epistles started out with doctrine. They started out with the gospel, you know, the foundation of salvation. The doctrines, what we call the doctrines of grace. But his epistles don't stop there. They go into our walk and our talk, our daily lives. He reaches into our daily lives. You're not the same no more. You're not giving yourself, he says, in his epistles, to fornication and being whoremongers and drunkards. And he said, no drunkard will enter the kingdom of heaven. The church is not lawless. She's not saved by the law. She's saved by the grace of God through the blood and righteousness of Christ. But she's governed by the gospel. She's governed by love. Love is a stronger force than any commandment. Walk as he walked. That's what we're told, aren't we? Walk as he walked. And listen, when we preach the gospel right now, you know right now judgment's being executed in the preaching of the gospel right now. I'm going to read you two scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, 16. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death. and to the other a savor of life unto life. Who's sufficient for these things? Those who sit under the gospel, those who hear the gospel, and they sit under the gospel, you know that gospel is going to rise up in judgment on them who believe not? Listen, John 12:48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. This gospel will rise up in judgment in the last day. Now here's what we are to do. Let me wind this down. He said he's happy. He gives thanks. He's in good company. They're going to stand within the gates of Jerusalem. They're going to worship the king. And he says this, pray for the peace. Now in Hebrew, that word means safety. We live in an ungodly world, don't we? We live in a world that hates God. Pray for the safety of Jerusalem. Pray for the safety of God's church. Pray for her safety. He's telling me that Gabe is going to Africa. Pray for his safety. Pray for it. We live in a world that hates God and hates us. Pray for it. The people of this city are to pray for its peace, its safety. We know it's safe in heaven. We know that. We know the church that is already there is safe. And we are safe. I know that. But he still says what? Pray. Do you believe God's going to give you your daily food? But he still tells us to pray for it, doesn't he? We show our dependence on him when we pray. We're not fatalist. We believe God, and he said to pray. Peace. We pray peace within the church. We're not to be at odds with one another. I have been in a situation where the peace was broken and it was disturbed and it was awful. You went through that here. You went through that. It's awful, isn't it? It's awful when you come here and it's a fight. It's a fight. I wrote this down somewhere. Behold, Psalm 133:1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's pleasant to come here and we're all in agreement. We're all in love with Christ. We love one another. We seek one another's good. And we seek peace. We pursue it. We go out of our way. Listen, we go out of our way without compromising the gospel. We go out of our way to keep the peace. You want that in your own families, don't you? I do. I want Jason and Jeremy to be at peace with one another. That way I don't have to discipline. I don't have to break the belt out or the switch. It's nice when there's peace. And that's what he's saying here. Pray for the peace and the safety of Jerusalem, God's church. And he gives a promise here to those who do. They shall prosper that love thee. Those who love God's people. You love God's people. Now, if you really genuinely love God's people, it's because you're one of them. You're one of them. And he says here, they shall prosper. That's a promise. And I believe he's speaking here mostly of soul prosperity. Soul prosperity. But I tell you what, we are prosperous in every other way too, aren't we? We're not a poor people. We're not financially poor. We're not poor people. We've been blessed above measure. We live better than kings have lived. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. Jerusalem was a walled city, just as the church is. You know the church is a walled city? Isaiah 26, 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. That's our wall. Salvation in Christ is that walls about the church. It's the salvation that we have in Christ. A prosperity within thy palaces. Spiritual prosperity. That's what I want. I want spiritual prosperity. Pray that she may grow in grace and knowledge of Christ. I pray that. I'm serious. I pray that for you every week. I pray that God will enable me and you to grow in grace and in knowledge of Christ. Because I know this. That will take care of all trouble. And that will enable us to truly come here and worship. Worship the Lord Jesus Christ. If we grow in grace and in knowledge of Him. And listen, pray. He says here, peace be within thy walls, within the church. Peace be within the church. It's one thing that, you know, there's no peace out there in the world. But brethren, there should always be peace in the church. And I know there's going to be tares and goats among the sheep. There always will be. But not among us who believe. There should never be a division between us who believe the gospel. And prosperity, pray for the palaces. Plural, palaces. You know, our Lord said, in my Father's house are many what? There are no slum in that city. I looked at that. And I thought, palaces. Palaces, plural. We are made kings and priests under God. Kings live in palaces. Everyone whom God saves, they are kings and priests. And as I said, there's no slum in that city. Where there's sin, you'll find slums. That's where slums come from. It comes from just human depravity. That's where the slums come from. People create the slums. Slums don't create the people. They create the slums. It's because of that sin within. And they like to wallow in it. It says in Psalm 48:3, God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Verse 8. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. You know, this our Lord speaks peace to his church. For his brethren's sake, his companions, he speaks peace to his church. I can hear the Lord speaking through this psalm. But also here, David was not a selfish king. You know, he spoke of pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Peace be within thy walls, prosperity within thy palaces. And it wasn't because his wife and his children lived there. It's because his companions, God's people, lived there. He was not a selfish king. Our Lord's not a selfish king. He prayed. He prayed for our prosperity, spiritual prosperity, is what he prayed for. Pilgrim here does not think of himself only, but his companions who he attends worship with. Who he attends. You know, when we come here, if we really honestly prayed for one another to come here with the spirit of worship, what a service it'd be. What a real service this would be. Love of the brethren is evidenced by doing what you do for their spiritual well-being. Last of all, because of the house of the Lord, because of the church of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Our Lord did that. Our Lord sought our good. And someday we'll realize that. Because of whose house it is, I will seek thy good. I often think when I'm preparing to preach, when I'm coming out here to speak to you, one of the thoughts that goes through my mind is that I'm preaching to a people for whom Jesus Christ, the incarnate God, died for. Christ died for you. And he has given me charge as an under-shepherd to teach you and to preach to you the gospel. And whatever I do, I am to do it for your good. I ran a business, plant manager one time years ago for a man, and one of his mottos when we were making decisions about the business, one of his mottos was, do no harm to the business. Whatever decisions you make, do no harm to the business. And that's the motto here, do no harm to the Lord's church. Do no harm, not on purpose. This psalm puts our gathering together in a true spiritual light. Pilgrim was distressed. Pilgrim lifted up his eyes unto the Lord, and he found comfort, and he found encouragement. And here he's glad, he's happy, he's elated. He's ran into other pilgrims, and they said, let's go together to the house of God, and let's worship him. I hope we can keep that attitude every time we come here.